Let's pray. Father, you do indeed shower out your blessings upon us, and sometimes we don't notice and we don't see it, but you do bless us in many ways every day. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we offer them with gracious hearts, with grateful hearts, with cheerful hearts. We ask you to bless these tithes. We ask you to multiply them for your kingdom use. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On? Yes. I'm a little hoarse, so I've got to use this today. Now, we're only, what, almost 3 weeks into the new year. And I keep hearing people still talking about making New Year's resolutions. Does anyone know what a New Year's resolution is? You know, do you? Well, Jesus would be a good New Year's resolution. Do you know a New Year's resolution? Something you're going to work on. That's really good. That's what a New Year's resolution is. That if most of you, I guess, haven't heard any adults saying they've made New Year's resolutions. But I've seen it in the newspaper. I've heard it on the radio. I've heard it on the TV. And does anyone have any idea what some adults say they're going to do? You got an idea? Well, sometimes they say, I'm going to change what I eat. I need to go on a diet. I need to lose weight. Have you ever heard anyone say that? And then sometimes, yeah, you've heard that, have you? Yes, there you are. They make this resolution. And then sometimes they say, well, I'm going to maybe I'm going to have devotions. Jesus, that part, more frequently than I do. But sometimes, you know what happens? You think they keep doing what they're supposed to? Do you think they do? Sometimes they don't. It's really hard, isn't it? But what kind of resolutions could you make? What could you decide to do that make things better for you? Enjoy life? Yes. Thomas, what could you do that would make you better or make things better for you? You don't know. You like your life, do you? Well, you know what? What about sisters and brothers who don't get along so well and fight with each other? Know anybody like that? Could that be a good resolution to make? You think so, Deborah? Your brother should be kinder to you? Uh-huh. What about when you're asked to put away those toys you're playing with and you sort of don't want to? You think it'd be a good resolution to say, I'll do what I'm asked when I'm asked to? Anyone have a problem putting away things away? No one? Oh, these parents are wonderful, lucky people. Their kids just do exactly what they're told. How about you see somebody who hasn't got anyone to play with at school or on the street? And you could play with them? Someone needs some help? Could that be a good resolution to look for someone who needs help and help them? And how about making sure you say to your mom and dad, I love you? No? You don't think you should say you love you to your mom and dad? Yes, and make them feel better? And then as I said, Jesus is a good resolution too. Why don't we all just bow our heads and pray? Thank you, Lord, that you are there for us. Help us, Lord, to look to you day by day to make sure that we do those things that will make you happy, and we will be better people for it, better kids. We will know we are helping others and we're pleasing you. We do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we gather here today to bring you praise, to bring you worship For you are our God, and we are your creatures. You created us for worship. And so we turn our hearts, our minds, and our bodies to you in this hour to bring you praise for all you have done for us and all you are doing for us in our individual lives, in our families, and in us as a congregation. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray that our hearts will be always turned to you, always tuned to you, that we'll be hearing your voice, we'll be guided by your word, we will listen to your Holy Spirit guide and direct our paths. We'll listen attentively when we have decisions to make, big ones and small ones. We pray that all the decisions we make in our life will be honoring to you. Lord, we pray that we will be sensitive to your move in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we will be united in spirit as the body of Christ here at Christian Baptist Church. Lord, I pray we will get a unity of vision and purpose as we move forward. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each and every one of us here. Lord, I pray for those who have been suffering from colds and flus and sickness throughout this season. Lord, I pray that there will be a speedy recovery and return to health and strength. Lord, I pray for each family represented here today, small ones and the large ones, Lord. I pray that there will be peace and unity in those homes. And Lord, I pray that there will be gracious words spoken between the parents, between the children and the parents. Lord, I pray that your peace will reign in our hearts, in our homes, and in our lives throughout this year. Hear our prayer, Father, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday's message reminded us that throughout biblical history and right up to our present day, as we're hearing on the news, anyone who desires to do the will of God, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, who calls Jesus Lord, will face opposition and at times persecution. From the very beginning, there has been a battle raging between the will of God and the will of the world. The world having been deceived and taken captive by the schemes of the devil. And so this spiritual battle, this spiritual warfare continues every day on this planet. Will God's people, will you and I do the will of God, or will we do the will of the world, the flesh, and the devil? I have to tell you that last week's message was a difficult one for me to prepare. It was a difficult one to deliver, and I know from the responses that it was a difficult one to receive. But the scripture says what it says. It is what it is. This is the truth from God's word. And it's a consistent message spanning thousands of years that the ways of the world are contrary to the ways of God. Isaiah 55 captures it. It's 55, 8 to 11. God speaking, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The way of the world and the way of God are in opposition to each other. Isaiah goes on to say, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." If you want to know God's will, he wrote it down. It's in the book. We don't need to struggle to know what God's will is. He has given us his word. So we have to admit that God's ways and our ways are not, or oftentimes are not, in alignment. but God's word stands. Believed or not, accepted or not, followed or not, God's word stands, and God's will be done. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." So we have the ways of the world, and we have the ways of God. And this battle will continue until either God gets it right and learns to do things our way, or we learn to do things God's way. Which of those options do you think is the better option? Let me ask the question again. It's not a rhetorical question. Which one is the better option? That we learn to do God's will. I'm going to give you an example from Scripture, one we know fairly well. It's the story of Jonah. God says to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh and preach." Now, from where Jonah was at the time in Israel, Nineveh was north, well, it still is. It's northeast of where he is. It's near, the town of Nineveh is now Mosul in northern Iraq. So God says to Jonah, "Go northeast." And Jonah says, "Yeah, I'll get right on that." He heads southwest to Joppa on the coast of Mediterranean coast and takes a ship headed to Tarshish, which is an ancient city which is near modern-day Gibraltar on the south coast of Spain. The journey from where Jonah was to Mosul or Nineveh is about 820 kilometers. Tarshish is 3,700 kilometers. So he just said no. He clearly heard the word of God and he said, "No, I'm going to go in the opposite direction." Now, Jonah's first problem was, of course, disobedience. And his second problem was believing that God didn't see him and believing that he could outrun God. Psalm 139 tells us that we cannot do that. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths," and Jonah was just about to do that, "you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea," and that's what Jonah was trying to do, "you are there. Even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." So Jonah disobeys, and a big storm came into his life. A big storm that threatened him and threatened the people he was with on the ship. A decision is made that it's Jonah's fault, he admits to it, and they throw him overboard. And what's interesting in the story, immediately Jonah was thrown overboard, the sea went calm. So now we've got Jonah disobeying God, going in the wrong direction, and now he's floundering around in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. Now for sure those guys on the ship are not going to take him back on board just because it's gone calm, because they know it was him that was causing the storm. But God's not going to abandon him, even though he's disobedient, doing the wrong thing. God sends the big fish. Jonah gets 3 days to lament the decision he made. God is gracious. Finally, the fish spits him up on the shore, probably back on the shore of Israel, there on the eastern end of the Mediterranean. And he finally hears the word of God again, telling him to go to Tarshish. And he goes to Tarshish, he preaches the shortest sermon ever. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That's all he said. And the city turns. The city, entire city repents and is saved from God's wrath. Jonah's not happy at that, but that's an entirely different story. But God's will was done. God's message was preached in that city, even through a disobedient prophet like Jonah. So when the psalmist in 139 says, God's hand is holding you fast, don't run away from him, run to him. God's will be done. And we've already discovered that following God's will is hard. Doing the right thing at the right time for the right motives is hard. It's difficult. The will of the flesh and the pressures of the world crowd in, overwhelm us, and sometimes deceive us. We start to rationalize our thinking and our behavior. And if we're like Jonah, we say, you want me to do that? I want to do this. God loves you, and he will send a storm into your life to get your attention. And in the time that the storm arises, there will be pain and discomfort because you know you have stepped out of God's will. I think if we're all honest with each other, we've all experienced that. When we're at a place where we knew we shouldn't have been, and a storm came up in our lives. C.S. Lewis writes, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse this deaf world. When you're outside of God's will, and there's pain and discomfort and a storm going in your life, it's time to examine where you are with God, and are you doing the right thing, and are you obeying his will? So what's the remedy to this problem? We're living in a world that clearly doesn't want anything to do with God or God's will, and yet God's will be done. How are we going to travel through life aware of this burden we have, the temptations, the pitfalls, and yet stay true to our calling? And our calling first is to live holy lives before God and to be bearers of God's message of love and reconciliation to this disobedient world. We're called to be salt and light, and it's hard. It's a hard calling. But today's message, today's scripture from Matthew tells us how to do that. It tells us the first step that we have to take if we truly want to live righteous lives before God. And it's in Matthew 11, verses 27 to 30. Jesus speaking, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here is a call to surrender your will to God's will, to come fully to the call that the Lord has laid on your life, because he is gentle. And Jesus uses a wonderful metaphor of a yoke, and there's a picture of one on the front of your bulletin this morning. And a yoke is a wooden beam that's placed across the shoulders of two animals, usually oxen, but horses, mules, and other animals are used. And it enables them to pull together on a load when working in pairs. And they're used in lots of different cultures. And in those cultures that do use oxen and other animals for plowing, for pulling loads and carts, training the beasts can be a problem. To train a younger ox, they pair it with an older one, stronger one. This will bring the younger, less experienced animal under the tight and more powerful control of the older one. The older one knows the master's wishes and instructions from experience and will lead where the master directs. The younger, yes, experienced one may struggle against this, but it will eventually come to engage in the work without struggle. If it surrenders its will and submits to the leading of the master and the older experienced animal. This is what Jesus is saying to us. Our desire as believers, or it should be, our desire as believers should be to come under God's almighty hand and to be found submitted and totally surrendered to God's will. but we struggle to know what God's will is, and even when we do, we pull against it. We push against it. And at times we want to go off and go on our own way. So here in this passage, Jesus gently reminds each one of us that if we earnestly desire to follow God's will, then we need to hitch ourselves to Jesus. We need to stay yoked to him. He is the older one, if you like, the wiser one, the more experienced one. He has all wisdom. And if we stay yoked to him, we will not be led astray. Allow him to lead. This means that each and every day, our day must start with Jesus. We need to start the day in submitted prayer. We need to seek his will and his purpose for the day. We need to stay attentive to his moves as he leads and we follow. This is particularly important when we're facing times of trouble and stress and ongoing difficulties. Sometimes, I know some of you have ongoing problems and issues in life that just never seem to let up. And you just wonder, will this ever end? And sometimes when we get to that point, we look for a shortcut. We look for an easy way out. We look around us and see what the world is doing in that situation. And we think, well, everybody else is doing that. Why don't we do it that way? Why don't I choose this like everybody else? We look for the shortcut. We look for the easy way out. And it's precisely at these times, in the depths of the struggle, that we need to draw closer to the Lord. We need to say, Lord, I want your wisdom. I desire to do your will. I need to know what that is. And he will gently, if we gently surrender our will to his will and to his timing, he will be there with us, guiding us through the difficult times. In Isaiah 43, the prophet again says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Comforting words. No matter what terror we're going through, no matter what difficult time we're having, God says, I am with you. No situation will ever come upon you that the grace of God cannot see you through. 5 times in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Choose to go with God. Choose him, for he has chosen you. If you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've made that commitment to him, and we've all wandered away and we've all wandered back with renewed faith. He's chosen you. Hitch yourself to Jesus. Be yoked with Jesus. Spend your day walking with him. Let him lead. He will not misdirect you. He will not lead you in any place or circumstance that his grace cannot sustain you. We need to be completely submitted to his leading. We need to completely submit all the decisions we're making in our life, even the simple ones. We need to surrender our will to his will. We've seen the picture of Jonah. God's will be done. And if he's chosen you to do something and to live a certain way, it will be done. He'll throw a storm into your life. Throw a shipwreck into your life. But he won't abandon you until you come round and he sets you up again. To be completely sold out to Jesus is to come to that point in your life that your priorities have been surrendered to his priorities and your desires are in alignment with what God has called you to do. When you reach that point, you will willingly take up Jesus' yoke, as he says. You'll live your life next to him without any resistance, without struggle, and completely surrendered. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, it's such a simple message. Why are our hearts so hard to receive it? We know the world around us is pagan, ignoring you, ignoring your word, ignoring your call. And yet we who call on your name find it so hard just to live the simple life of obedience. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our sin of not believing. We ask you to forgive us for our sin of disobedience. And we ask you now to change our hearts. Now, each one of you here who've lived apart from the Lord, away from the Lord, in your heart now, re-surrender to Jesus. Ask him for his forgiveness. Ask him to re-enter your heart or enter it for the first time. And commit to have your life completely surrendered to him. Father God, you know each of our hearts. You know when we wander. You know when we live apart from you. Lord, you've heard the silent prayers in the hearts of the people this morning. You know the ones who desire to follow your will and to follow it faithfully. Lord, I pray your Spirit will pour out on each one of us here to give us the will and the strength to live bold lives, declaring the name of Jesus to this world. Hear our prayer, Father, for we surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a reminder, if you are visiting with us today, please come downstairs. We'd like to meet you and at least know your name. Have a coffee with us. As you go from here today, go knowing God loves you. He wants to bless you, but he calls you to obedience. Surrender to him. Make him Lord of all. Go in peace. Amen.